and welcome to Slonkast Episode 1. I am your host, Kevin J. Slonka. And on the Slonkast, we like to talk a little bit about technology. And probably other things that amuse me during the week. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, last time was Episode 1. No, last time was Episode 0. I'm a programmer, and to me, counting starts from 0. So this episode, which is actually the second episode, is episode number 1. So you're going to have to deal with it. Now, I figured I'd start off the show by talking a little bit about the equipment that I have here in the studio. Some people might find it interesting, wanting to know, you know, what microphone are you using, what type of stuff do you have there? So, to start off, the microphone that I'm using to record this is a Heil PR40. It's very similar to a condenser microphone that you would find in most radio studios, but it's not a condenser microphone. It acts like one, but it's not a condenser. It's actually a dynamic mic. And have that in the Heil shock mount connected to the boom so that I can have this thing mounted on my desk and lift up over top of my laptop. And controlling the sound, I'm using a Behringer 2222FX mixer. Now, you might be thinking, to make a podcast, that seems a little overkill. Well, yeah, just for a podcast, that is a lot overkill, actually. But I also intend to record music down here in my music studio. So I have, you know, my 3 amps, all my effects pedals, 3 microphones here to record the guitars and singing. And if I have guests on the show, I have mics for them. You know, I got a Shure SM58. Got an AKG D5, and for musical instruments, I got a Shure 16A condenser mic. Now, got that out of the way. I mentioned last week that I was going to talk sometime about HD DVD versus Blu-ray. Now, for a while, this was a very touchy subject with me because I picked the better technology to win. And when I say I picked it to win, I mean I bought an HD DVD player. And why did I pick that? Well, like I said, HD DVD, they're the better technology. They were the better technology. They use the same red lasers that you find in most normal DVD players. So that helps. That doesn't really help the consumer that much, but as far as the music or the video studios and the people making these discs, that means that they don't have to go out and spend an enormous amount of money to change their manufacturing process, to change all their machines. It's the same lasers. It's very similar to what they're already doing to produce your current DVDs. Now, like I said, no big deal to the consumer, but it's also cheaper. So that is a big deal to the consumer, too, because red lasers are cheaper than blue lasers, so that means the cost of the movies that you're going to buy will also be cheaper. Now, the other thing that makes HD DVD better than Blu-ray is that HD DVD was a finished product. The spec for HD DVD was done before the players started being made. So all players that came out for HD DVD conformed to that spec, and that wasn't going to change. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's look at Blu-ray right now. There's Blu-ray spec 1, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 2.0, you know, whatever. But the big deal with that is, if you bought a Blu-ray player, say, a year ago, chances are you're not going to be able to watch a lot of the content on Blu-ray movies of today. Now, why is that? Well, Blu-ray movies of today require your Blu-ray player to be connected to the internet. Blu-ray players of a year ago didn't have wireless, didn't have an Ethernet connection. They were standalone DVD players. So if you have a player from a year ago, you're not going to be able to watch that new content on your new DVDs. Also, the Blu-ray Spec 2.0 requires that your Blu-ray player have some sort of storage. Excuse me, an internal hard drive, an SD slot, at least a gigabyte of internal storage somewhere on the device. Blu-ray drives or Blu-ray players of a year ago have no options for storage. So if you want to watch that content that requires something to be downloaded onto your device, you know, too bad. Basically, if you have a Blu-ray player that doesn't have a network connection or doesn't have some sort of internal storage, all you can do is watch the main feature movie that is on the disc. No extra content, because most of the extra content requires those two things that you don't have. For a lot of people, no big deal. That's all they buy the Blu-ray movies for, is to watch the main feature, and they don't want the extra content. But for a lot of people, that is a big deal. You know, maybe they want to listen to the producer's commentary, to the director's commentary. You know, who knows? But it's a very poor move on Sony's part, because now there are all these people out there who are going, who are paying for the content. You are paying $30, let's say, for a Blu-ray movie, and you are only getting $15 worth of that content, because your player can't handle the other $15. You are getting majorly ripped off. You're paying for stuff that you cannot watch. You know, and that's horrible. A lot of people don't think of it that way, but I think if more people did, they would pretty much be outraged at the fact that these companies even let this happen. You know, you can say, oh, that's just technology. That's the way it goes. You know, there's always going to be something new out that supersedes something in the past. And if you want the new thing, you got to upgrade. Well, that's not how it goes in video. If you bought a VHS player in 1990, I don't know when VHS came out, but let's say you bought a VHS player in 1990, you can play a VHS movie from 2000. No big deal. Same with DVD players. If you bought the very first DVD player that came out, you can play a DVD that's been released last week. They're all going to play it. But with Blu-ray, you know, that's not the case. If you have one of the first ones, you're not going to be able to use half the stuff on your disc. And that's pretty horrible. You know, so maybe like a year ago, that's when I bought my HD DVD player, because I was convinced that the constant changing of the spec for Blu-ray was ultimately going to cause its downfall. People were going to be mad, but, you know, the public has, they've spoken, or they haven't spoken, because most of them are stupid, and they just don't realize. You know, they'll go along with whatever's out there. Oh, Blu-ray's high-def player. Okay, I'm going to buy one. You know, I think if more people would have bought HD DVD, then that would have changed things a little bit. Or maybe it wouldn't have, because we all know why the war was won by Sony, because Sony paid off all the studios to use their format. HD DVD had a lot of the studios. I think it was three of the four major ones, I believe, that HD DVD had. They had committed to producing their movies on HD DVD because they knew it was the better technology. But then Sony came around with its bigger pockets, offered those studios more money, and I think all of the studios, maybe all but one, let's just say most of the studios, switched to Blu-ray and ultimately caused the demise of HD DVD. And that's horrible. You know, that's the way it works. That's the way the economy works. You have more money, you win. But it's horrible because the better technology got left in the dust. Now, because I have an HD DVD player, you know, obviously I can't watch high-def movies that come out now because they're all Blu-ray. So I broke down, and over Christmas break, I bought myself a Blu-ray player. Actually, I bought a PlayStation 3. Now, normally I was never going to buy a PlayStation 3 because they're $400. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. No console is worth $400. I don't care how good you think it is, it's not worth it. But luckily, a guy that I work with told me that he had this thing that he got in the mail from the Sony Rewards credit card, where if you signed up for the Sony Rewards credit card before December 31st, you could buy a PlayStation 3 and get $150 off. So a PlayStation 3 for $250. You know, that was more in my price range. So that got me to buy it. Altogether, shipping, you know, final price to my door was $283. So that was not bad. So now I have a PlayStation that I use to play my Blu-ray movies, which I only have one now, WALL-E. That's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, go get WALL-E. Awesome movie. I mean, really awesome. But the PlayStation 3 can also do more things than play Blu-ray movies. It can also connect to UPnP media servers. So if you have Windows Media Center Edition, or I don't know what Apple's is. Apple has a version that does that. Or if you're like me and your home computers run Linux, you can download any number of media server applications and use that. So that's what I did. I finally ended up settling on a program called UShare. It's from Geeksbox. And if any of you don't know, Geeksbox is actually a live Linux CD that you pop into your laptop, and its main purpose, all it does, is do multimedia. So you're not going to get, you know, if you're afraid of the Linux shell or afraid of using it, you don't know what's going on. That's not what this live CD is. It's going to boot you up into a multimedia interface. You know, if you put a DVD in the drive, it's going to automatically play it. You know, you put songs in on a CD or on a thumb drive, you're going to be able to play it. It's a really slick interface. But that whole team that made Geeksbox made a program called UShare. So I installed UShare on my Linux box. It took me a couple, probably like a half hour to figure out what was going on, to configure it and set everything up correctly. But once I did that, now I can stream any shows that I download on my desktop and watch them on my TV. You know, previous to having the PS3, what I would do, I'd watch a lot of Revision 3 shows. So I would download the high def version. It's only a 720p, that's what they call high def. I totally disagree, but whatever. So I would download the high def shows, and I would burn them to DVD so I could watch them on my TV, because I hate watching things on my computer. And if I'm going to watch, you know, a TV show or something like an internet show like the Revision 3 shows that are supposed to replace TV shows, I'm going to watch them on my big TV. That's why I own a big TV, to watch shows. So I would normally just burn it to DVD, and I would go through a lot of DVDs, you know, two a week. So I would constantly be going through DVDs just to watch these shows. But now, using UShare, I download them, I boot up the PS3, the PS3 instantly sees my media server. I don't have to do anything. It just detects it with a universal plug and play. And I watch the shows, live streams, wireless to the PS3. So that is pretty awesome. Now, one thing I did notice, which I'm going to say just because it might save other people some time, is that the PS3 is stupid. It doesn't understand that certain files can be video without having a certain extension. So what do I mean by that? MP4 files. Anybody who's worked with MP4 files or video or audio in general, you know that MP4 is just a container. It can be audio, it can be video, it can be both. But MP4, the extension MP4, it's just a container. The PS3 doesn't know that. It thinks MP4 is strictly audio. So all of these Revision 3 shows that I watched, they're MP4 files. So what I had to do to make them watchable on the PS3 is rename them from MP4 to M4V, which is the explicit extension for an MP4 video. You know, no big deal, but it did take me a while to figure that out. That was very frustrating. So, you know, other than that, the PlayStation 3 has been great so far. Watching Blu-ray movies, streaming the Revision 3 shows that I watch. And I also bought one game for it. I don't plan on playing many games on the PS3, but I did buy one just because it had a game that I really wanted to play in the past, you know, year or so, and haven't been able to because I haven't had any system that can play it, is Portal. That comes in the orange box, which contains Half-Life Episode 2, Episode 1, Episode 2, Portal, and Team Fortress. And Portal is an awesome game. If any of you out there haven't played it, you should play it. It's basically, it's a first-person puzzle game. So it looks like a first-person shooter, except the goal of the game is not to kill your enemies. The goal of the game is to figure out how to place these portals all around, which you have one portal that you enter into and another portal that you exit out of, and you got to figure out where to put these portals to solve the puzzle. And the puzzle is, you know, whether you get from here to there, or in some cases it's you have to take this box and activate this door by setting it on a button and get from here to there. It gets very complicated. It's very fun, very addicting. But, you know, it's a great game. And here's where I think all of these new consoles go wrong. And I'm going to also add in Xbox 360 to this too, because it acts the same way as the PS3 does. All I wanted to do when this game came was put it in and play some Portal. Do you think I could do that? Well, you probably guessed right, no. I put the disc in. First thing it says, you don't have the newest version of this game. You have to download an update. Like, fine, you know, whatever. Connect to the internet, download the update. So I tell it to do that, and it comes back and says, oh, the update you need is 128 megabytes, and you can't do this in the background. So first off, I'm stuck. You know, I do this update. I can't just play the game without the update. I have to have the update. It won't let me play it without the update. And I can't use the system because the update has to be in the foreground. So I tell it to download the update, and it must have been coming from Mars. I don't know where this update was coming from, but it was slow. And I mean, I have a 3 meg symmetric connection, so that's pretty decent as far as home broadband is considered. You know, downloading gigabytes upon gigabytes of movies and other things that I get, haven't had any problem. But for some reason, this update, it took like a half hour to download the update. Then once it downloaded, it took another 15 to 20 minutes to install the update. And then I'm thinking, okay, finally, I can get in, I can play this game. No. I try to start up the game, and it has to go through this, I don't know, creating settings process. That was another 10 minutes. So altogether, I'm sitting there doing absolutely nothing for an hour before I could play the game that I bought. You know, whatever happened to the old days of Nintendo where you bought a game, you put it in, you played it? I mean, game designers these days, I think, are so lazy. They think that just because these consoles have internet connections, they can ship an unfinished game and just push out updates later to fix all the things that they didn't fix to start with. You know, come to think of it, before all of these new consoles with internet connectivity came out, that would never happen. When has that ever happened where you've put in a Nintendo 64 game and, you know, there was something broken? You've never received an update in the mail to your Nintendo 64 game or to your SNES game. The games that you bought in the store were finished products. But that's not the way it is now. They ship things that suck and just expect to patch them as time goes on, and people will live with it because they're used to it. You know, that's the way PC gaming has always worked. If you go download a game, or not download a game, you go buy a game now and you put it in, you know, there's service pack upon service pack and patches. I mean, they're updating it all the time. Sometimes it's just to add new levels, which is great. I love when publishers give you, you know, additional content for your games. And if that's what the internet connection would be used for on these consoles, that would be awesome. But that's primarily not what it's used for. You know, these consoles, the games on these consoles are completely unfinished, and they require you to sit there and wait an hour before you can play the game that you bought. You know, to me, that's horrible. So, needless to say, I don't think I'm going to be buying very many more games for the PS3 unless I really hear some people talking about them that it's an awesome game, because I don't have the patience to sit there for an hour while the thing downloads updates before I can play the game. So let's get away from the PS3 for a while, because, you know, I do think it's great for a Blu-ray player. It's great for kind of connecting to a media server. Horrible playing games. Just my opinion, I think it's horrible. So another thing I wanted to talk about was Twitter. A lot of people don't know what Twitter is, and I find, you know, that surprises me, because Twitter has been around for a while, and if you are friends with me on Facebook, you're probably thinking, you know, wow, this guy doesn't have a life. He's updating his Facebook profile every 10 seconds. But the cool thing about that is, you know, maybe I don't have a life, but I'm not sitting in front of Facebook, you know, all hours of the day updating it. What I'm doing is I'm posting to Twitter, and the Twitter application on my Facebook page updates my Facebook page for me. So you always see what I write in Twitter. Now, what is Twitter? For those of you who don't know, it's considered a microblogging service. Now, the way that some people explain it, like, you have your own website, you know, call it a blog, whatever, where you write a couple paragraphs whenever about things you've done, you know, cool things that have happened. You went to this concert, you put up some pictures. Well, there's a lot of things in your life that don't constitute an entire article on your site. Say, for instance, you know, hey, I'm going to meet up some friends at the bar. You're not going to write a whole article on your site about, hey, I'm going to meet some friends at a bar, come join us. So that's where Twitter comes in. It's a micro version of your own personal website. And it's really a very social version of your own personal website, because all the people with Twitter accounts, they can choose to follow you and they will receive your updates whenever you update Twitter. So let's say I am going to the bar to meet up some friends. I'll post that on Twitter, and anybody who's watching my Twitter feed will get that update. And oh, you know, I like Kevin. I like his friends. I'm going to go meet him there. So that's really what Twitter's all about. It's a social version of your own personal website. It doesn't require any knowledge. You just go to Twitter's website. There's a text box. You type in what you're doing. You hit update. Bam, it's done. And the cool thing about Twitter is it's also usable from your cell phone. So you can send a text message to Twitter. It'll update your Twitter page. If you have an iPhone or any other sort of smartphone, there are Twitter applications for those. So no matter where you're at, you can update Twitter and tell the whole world, or just whoever's watching, you know, what you're doing. Post pictures and even update, you know, your Facebook or MySpace site. So Twitter is, it's a great tool for me, because I like to watch the people who I used to watch on TV. Say, Leo Laporte, Patrick Norton, you know, all the Revision 3 people, all the people over in Silicon Valley who, you know, I don't know personally, but I value their input. You know, they're all on Twitter. So anytime they're reviewing a cool new product, you know, they'll type in what they think of it and post a link to it, and I get to see that. And the cool thing about them is, you know, if you live near them, if they're going to the bar or something, they'll post on Twitter where they're going, and they invite people to go, you know, hang out with them. Now, of course, Twitter isn't just about, you know, stalking celebrities. It's much more fun if you use it with your friends. So if you're the only person that you know personally on Twitter, it's probably not going to be very much fun. But a few of my friends have been on there, and it's actually, you know, kind of cool. You know, one of my friends, he started posting things, you know, like, oh, I'm modding my Wii, you know, and he'd post his progress as he goes along. So, you know, now everybody knows, you know, how he modded his Wii. If they want to do it, they can go do it now. One of my friends posts on there whenever he goes and sees a movie, you know, he says whether it sucked or, you know, go see it. So it's really pretty cool. I would definitely tell everyone to at least try it. You know, give it a week or two. Follow a bunch of people who you find interesting. Try to get your friends on it. You know, use it on your phone. That's really what makes it more valuable, that you can use this thing on the go. You don't have to be tied down to your computer to use it. So, you know, give it a shot. See if you like it. It's really very useful. And it's so useful, in fact, that people have actually written books about how to use Twitter for a business, and how to keep in touch with your clients, and how to keep in touch with your employees, you know, throughout the day. Some people even use Twitter as their instant messaging service in their company, instead of actually having an instant messaging service like, you know, AOL IM or something internal. So it's really very useful. It's not just, you know, the next big Web 2.0 craze. cool thing. You should definitely try it out. So that's pretty much it for this episode. I have nothing more to talk about tonight. I apologize if my voice has been cracking or going in and out. I have been very sick in the past week. Had the flu. I have a cold now. My throat is actually burning now because I've been talking so much. But that's it. Hopefully I'll see you next week. I don't know if this is going to be a weekly show or not. I'll try. Hopefully I'll have enough cool things to talk about. You know, if you have any comments or anything, send me an email. My email address is slonkhack at kevinslonka.com. That's my last name, first initial. So S-L-O-N-K-A-K at kevinslonka.com. Follow me up on Twitter, twitter.com/slonkhack. You can find me on Facebook, on MySpace. Make sure you go to my website, kevinslonka.com. Read the articles I post. You know, sometimes they're funny. Sometimes I'll drop a little webcomic, something that I thought was pretty funny. More often than not, they're technology focused, you know, trying to put out information on things that, you know, I've went through and maybe it'll help somebody else. So another Slonkcast is over. I hope you guys have a good week.